This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back hour number two of the big show. One in the books, two to go. I see that we're doing a little premature warnings now because of the Trey incident. Nick said hot, and then I looked down the mic, and it was still off, and I'm like...
Yeah. I usually do that because sometimes I'll say hot, and then y'all keep talking and drop an F-bomb, or Barry will drop an S-bomb.
Or someone screaming
Or you will
TV
drop a-hole.
Someone will scream. I've never cursed on this show.
Yep, not once.
No.
Oh, right. So I guess, Barry, since we covered some Astros, they did do well. You and I were talking about it in the break. I did not expect them to take two of three. You said you thought that they would, so
yeah.
Kudos to you.
I had some listeners at the listener appreciation party that said they had tickets to the game Saturday in L.A. And they even said, listen, if we die, just know that we love the Astros, and we went out there to support the home team. I was like, why would you die in L.A.? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, they were asking me about that. I figured they would win game one and three, but I figured that they would take two out of three from the Dodgers despite the injuries.
Man, I would think game three with Cole on the mound, too, they were in a really good position to sweep the Dodgers.
Yep.
But kudos to them. They played really well. A lot of good things and positives to be taken from that series. And then... as we started into the weekend, we were talking about what moves were going to have to be made to clear room for Osuna. And then lo and behold, there were so many injuries that we didn't have to worry about who was going down. But inevitably, in the end, Osuna is now on the roster and eligible to pitch. And with it came another press release from the Astros that took five paragraphs to say basically absolutely nothing.
They basically said that we're on the hook and accept any and all fallout from this.
Right.
That's what it said.
So, I mean, I guess here we go. We'll see how it goes. Evidently, he did address the team, closed door, said what he had to say. There were people that were nitpicking apart what when they were translating what he said in Spanish during a press conference to basically clarify how happy he was to be in Houston and everything like that. Granato had to set some people straight of all people with the actual interpretation as opposed to Brian McTaggart for what he did say. You know, he's not going to get into any issue, any of the circumstances around the pending case and just wants to go forward. But it's pretty tough to just say, hey, let's just go forward and let bygones be bygones when we don't know anything about what happened.
A lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah. So good stuff. If you missed it, too, by the way, podcast has it on Friday. We had a defense attorney in Canada that was great about Allison was great about clearing up a lot of misconceptions and opinions about what's going on in the Canadian court system with what this case is going to have happened. So very cool stuff there as well.
Yeah, definitely worth a listen if you missed it.
Yeah. Other than that, we got a call that wants to talk Astros as well. So, Barry, was that say Mito?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mito wants to talk some Astros. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just real quick. I hear a lot of, like, Yankee fans thinking that they're coming for us. When I keep telling all these Yankee fans, man, y'all going to have to play against the A's, and the A's ain't no joke. So I just wanted to get y'all guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, somebody had even tweeted, and it's been a discussion on the national show as well, but... The like I said earlier, the A's are definitely on the rise, and surprisingly to me, I thought that this would have been a team that faded as young as they were. But a lot of people are already speculating, what happens if the Yankees make a wild card and get bounced? Is Major League Baseball going to change the rules of the wild card just to avoid this happening to the Yankees? Don't forget, they got bounced last year.
Yeah,
and the wild card by the Astros.
It's funny that you and I have talked about and kicked around the fact that I've said I want that wild card round to be more than one game. And you were saying about how, because of obviously you reward the teams that did the best and were most successful during the regular season, you liked it at one game. But if at all, if that would happen where MLB would, after this season, change that rule and the length of the wild card series – there is no doubt people are going to be going, oh, so you're catering to the Yankees again.
Yeah.
But after what the Yankees weren't able to do against the Red Sox this weekend, after they came out, you know, all first half of the season, guns a blaring, big home runs, and Judge this and Stanton that, and everything that they were going to do. Then they were very, very active before the trade deadline, trying to get themselves that upper hand heading down the stretch. And their whole team has emulated Aaron Judge of a year ago so far, and they're absolutely crapping the bed. And the Red Sox yeah. are just basically solidifying the division.
And by the way, I misspoke. I didn't mean last year. I meant 2015. Mm-hmm. They got bounced by the Astros. No, obviously not last year.
Last year was seven games, but they got bounced by the Astros.
Yeah. But I do agree. It's weird how this is all, you know, they lost Aaron Judge and now they're fading. They're kind of floundering a little bit. But why that discussion would even come up? If this was the Twins, we'll use last year's wild card. If this was the Twins and the A's, is anyone even bringing up the fact that they might change the rule?
Nope.
That's just how much power the Yankees have in Major League Baseball. Frankly, it's disgusting because if this were the Astros and the Indians, two wild card teams that were, you know, have been prominent for a couple of years now, no one is suggesting that they even consider changing the rule.
Well, that's the bigger difference, too.
Two teams
teams that are very, very good in smaller markets.
Yes.
They still wouldn't change the rule.
No. There's two teams in baseball that they would even consider that for, and they're both in the same division. The Red Sox and the Yankees, for whatever reason, have enough pool that they would consider it, and it even becomes a topic of discussion. Now, I blame some of the fact that the Red Sox do that because ESPN is based in Bristol, and Bristol is a heavy Red Sox nation, and you'll always get that ESPN slant when it comes to the Red Sox and Boston teams, always. And speaking of all that, I'm so thankful that the Yankees are going to be on TV tonight because I was worried we may not see them on ESPN.
I saw your tweet. I was just going to bring that up.
They've just don't get enough TV time. My goodness. There's just not enough good stories in baseball. Oh, my God.
I understand Red Sox, Yankees this year.
I get it.
When both teams are very, very prevalent in the races. But even in years past, when one, if not both of them, were on the downside, we still had to see three of the four games in every series that they played for the year between Major League Baseball, for MLB Network, ESPN, the national game on Fox. Every series, it goes without fail, you would get three of those four games.
Yep.
For the most part, unless you're on the East Coast, who cares?
You know.
If it's a monster pitching matchup too, I get it. But do we really need to see three of those four games as opposed to some of the other good teams in baseball?
Nope. I would love to see some other teams in baseball. That would be nice.
I agree. And then the other thing that was crazy, too, is during the game, I believe it was last night, all of a sudden words start leaking out or was it during the Astros game Saturday night, that Mike Socha would be stepping down at the end of the year.
That was a couple days ago that came out, I believe.
I heard that the guys were talking about, I think it was on the Saturday Astros game, that they had just heard of this and it was interesting. They'd have to see what happens.
Saturday morning when that came out.
Yeah.
What makes it more interesting is that Buster Olney was reporting this morning that because Socha has disputed the fact that he called it poppycock, but he said that that's not true that he's stepping down. But if he does, or for whatever reason, if he's not there next year, leading candidate, according to Buster Olney, AJ Hinch.
For L.A.?
For the Angels, yeah.
Hmm.
And the other one is an ex-Astro as well. Brad Ausmus.
That would make some sense.
Yeah.
He is definitely a California kid.
I don't know how A.J. Hinch makes
sense. Yeah.
Olney was breaking it down. You can check Buster Olney's tweets, and I have it. I retweeted it. I'll get it for you if you want. But, yeah, he was
I don't know if I'm going from a World Series contender.
Yeah, even if A.J.'s got ties to California and everything else, why would you leave the good thing that you got going right now in so many ways? Great relationship with the owner and the general manager. You know, a team that it has won one and has the potential to be around to win several more or be in the hunt for it. I understand that, you know, California is one thing and the money's probably good. But, boy, I wouldn't jump ship on this one just yet.
Smart front office. Jives with what you do as a manager. The whole, you know, statistics and all that stuff.
Yep.
And you've got a great GM. Until maybe the Osuna thing. Maybe that would be a reason why you'd leave. Maybe AJ Hinch disagreed with the move. And maybe that's the rumblings behind the scene, is that he did not want Osuna on this team because he felt like it would do damage. And Jeff Luhnow was like, nope, it's going to happen. And maybe that was...
It's interesting. We were worried just about the locker room per se, players-wise, with McCullers and Verlander. Guys have been outspoken against domestic violence.
Maybe A.J. Hinch had a problem with the move.
I didn't think about it before, but it's definitely a possibility.
There's just too much of a link to all the former like domestic abuse players, too. Because like when I searched Robert Osuna on YouTube, the third video from the top was the Donray Vasquez surveillance video of him beating his girlfriend in the stairwell.
Yeah.
So there's that link is like unavoidable for some time. Like it's not going to go away for a while.
Nope. And maybe AJ Hinch doesn't want to be involved with that. And maybe his folks got to Buster Olney and just started planting some seeds. You never know.
Interesting, because he said one of the most coveted free agents this winter could be Houston manager AJ Hinch. Brad Ausmus was an assistant with the Angels, presumably will be in the mix. But Hinch is an interesting name to keep an eye on. So if you're the Astros, you don't want to lose your manager. You're right. He just jives too well with everything that they got going on. All right, you know what else jives with everything we got going on? You guys, we appreciate you being a part of the show. 713-780-3776 if you want to join in via text or call. And, of course, we're always available via the tweets on Twitter. Back with more. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Hour number two, three-hour show. Not even to the halfway point yet. So we're happy to have you along for the ride. Hopefully you've fastened your seatbelts and realized that we appreciate positive tweets and affirmations. And if you don't, well, then appreciate the fact that we sometimes clap back, even if you have 7 followers. If you missed any of that, check the podcast. By the way, breaking news again, just because of the fact that it just keeps happening. Sam Decker, centerpiece of another trade. This guy is just sought after. He's now going to the Cavaliers for a bag of chips, but he will be playing significant minutes in the wine and gold post-LeBron era number duh. I don't know what the Clippers got, but I think it was close to what Fires was worth.
Samuel Decker.
L.A. to Cleveland.
Centerpiece.
Talk about a step above. You're in L.A. You're going to Cleveland. LeBron's not there anymore. I mean, I'm sure the people of Cleveland are going to be happy because he's engaged to Kevin Harlan's daughter, who's a sideline reporter, and she's pretty talented.
Is she?
Yeah. Okay. Nick will verify that.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh. Aha. Real quick.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. So, did your wife use these delivery services where, like, I don't want to give any names because they're not sponsors, and I don't want to give them props because I have to pay for this crap. But it's these boxes, right? So you sign up for this box, and they'll deliver a lot of goods, like, once a season, every
like clothing
summer, winter, spring, and fall.
Yeah.
It'll be
she actually does do
makeup, scarves, whatever. Like my wife loves these. But I signed her up like almost a year and a half ago for one or 2 years ago maybe. And I've been getting them.
Not the Forever 21 one.
No, okay. I have that one. But I renew it every year for her. So she keeps getting every year she gets 4 of these boxes in the mail, and it's got all kind of crap that's gonna end up in a garage sale. But she loves it when it comes in. It's like getting a present every quarter. So in one of these last boxes was a jar of charcoal toothpaste.
What?
Yeah. And supposedly charcoal toothpaste will whiten your teeth. Now, my wife was too scared and too grossed out to use it. But that did not stop her from peer pressuring me into using it.
Well, you are kind of a crash test dummy of all things. So.
I mean, I'll try stuff. Yeah. I'm not. There's a lot of things I will do. There's a lot of things I won't do. But I love my wife, and she wanted to know if it would work. So she was like, will you use it? I don't want it to go to waste because I'm not going to use it. Will you use it and see if it works? And I was like, you know what? I'll do it.
Yeah, but one time's not going to.
No, I've been using it for 3 days now. Do they look? Ding. Are they nice and shiny and white?
No.
What?
Why would he compliment your teeth?
Yeah, that'd be weird.
So, I'll say this. It's a powder.
Oh, no.
So, it's not toothpaste. It's a powder, and a very fine powder.
That would make it worse.
So, the instructions say to sprinkle it on your... It comes with a toothbrush, and the bristles are black on the toothbrush, because obviously, if you just use a regular bristled toothbrush, it's going to turn those black as well. So it already has black bristles on the toothbrush, and it says to take a pinch and sprinkle it on your toothbrush, brush your teeth for 2 minutes, rinse, you're done. And it does warn you, be careful, because it can get messy. Let me tell you what, it looks like I work in a coal mine on my side of the bathroom.
That's hilarious.
It is black, there's powder everywhere. This is the messiest, most god-awful looking thing I've ever seen in my life, because I did the whole sprinkle thing. A fine mist of black dust was all over the place. Then, so I start brushing my teeth. Turns your mouth completely black. Everything. Teeth, gums, lips, just black. Like I just like...
For how long?
Like my inside of my face is made of licorice. It's just 2 minutes. I'm brushing.
I mean, after you're done, you rinse out and everything like that.
Well, so I brushed for the 2 minutes, and my wife wants to see. Let me see. I'm like, all right. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, hey, no, you can't. You got to undersell it. I'm doing this for you, woman. So I did it for her, and then I go to rinse, and I brush the teeth, and then I spit in the sink. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I spit, black spit goes everywhere because I have the sink going, and I have a white sink. It's a rectangular. It sits above the counter everywhere. And I mean, like, this is splattering all over the place. It's on my shirt. It's getting on all the stuff on the counter. It is everywhere. And I was like, this is the worst thing ever. Now, I will admit that it does clean up pretty easy, but it is so messy.
I've seen the videos on Instagram. Is it functional?
So I rinse my mouth out, and it does not come out right away. I do like 5 rinses where a mouthful of water, swish it around, spit it out. It's gray.
So it's like you got sand in your mouth at the beach or something. It takes a while to get rid of it.
It's very clean feeling. Like when you rub your teeth with your finger, you hear it go, ear, ear, ear. Like it's very clean. Okay. So I'm rinsing and spitting and rinsing and spitting. And it's still gray. The water that's coming out of my face is gray. Jeez. I was like, oh, hell no. This better go. I finally had to get my regular toothbrush and toothpaste, brush my teeth again just to get all the black charcoal out of my face.
What does it taste like? Huh? Is it minty?
No, it doesn't taste like anything.
Oh.
So what I decided the next time around was I wasn't going to sprinkle it. I was going to dip the toothbrush in the powder. That works a lot better. That controls the mess some, but it also puts extra because you have to wet it, then you dip it. So now I've got probably 3 times the amount I'm supposed to have in my face, and it's way darker now. But I've been using it now for 3 days.
You see a difference?
Not yet. I mean, my teeth have never been...
Have you done the napkin test?
No, but my teeth have never been that yellow because I usually whiten them twice a year anyways. Mm-hmm. So I was due for a whitening in July, and I had a couple of strips left over that I did, but I usually do like a 7-day or a 10-day thing, and it does pretty well. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to use the whole thing, but yeah, it was
just
a little...
It doesn't sound like it.
It was very nerve-wracking, I'll say that, and because Nick was asking me about it. And
well, I'm kind of stuck between that and the white mouthpiece-looking one. There's like a white mouthpiece one that costs like $100.
I've done the mouthpiece trays.
No, I'm not talking about the
dentist.
I'm not talking about the mouthpiece like trays that you can get like at Walmart. It's literally like a big mouthpiece that has like a tube, a tiny tube attached to it. Mm-hmm. And then it, I guess
how'd it go?
Well,
yeah.
The camera's not on me, so you can't see it anyway. But yeah.
I've done the ones from your dentist. Okay. And you sleep with the trays in, or you have to, And they work really well.
Yeah, that'll make your mouth real sensitive too, though.
True, it will.
So I use a famous toothpaste brand's version. And they have different levels of it. Now, the one I get will have like 14 strips in it or 10. And it works well, and it comes with a little ultraviolet light thing that you put in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's like a little disc, and you put it on the upper and the lower as you whiten your teeth, which is fine unless you do it like my dumbass. I'll drive around whiten. Like on the way to work, I'll put the strips on my teeth, and then about 30 minutes into my drive, I have to do this thing that glows. So I'm driving around with this big disc.
Yeah, I've never had it sticking out of my face. Do the ultraviolet light thing. Well, it's a home kit.
That's why. Well, the dentist usually, like when you do a professional teeth whitening, they do that as well. And that's what really helps activate the whitening. But this stuff works, man. I'll tell you what it is off air, Nick. It works really well.
What is that sound though? What is that sound that you made?
I knew as soon as I did it. I can't tell a story without you or Joel being complete children. I can't ever tell a story on this show.
That all, yeah.
I can't. I wish I could control the recordings.
Cannot do it.
I wish I could. Because I'm going to go back to the podcast and get them myself and play them on the phone.
That's fine.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
You did.
As soon as I did the noise, I was like, you know what? Why did I do that? I'm trying to enhance the story.
Well, I waited for you to complete the story before.
As I was talking to you, I could see you over there getting the audio. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this dude, this dick is going to get that sound and play it. That's what he's going to do. And sure enough, that's what you did. You've let me down again. I thought we were friends.
Nick said Trey did it.
Trey doesn't know how to do that. He was shouting at a TV earlier.
You really want to admit that you did this?
He was shouting at a TV earlier. He doesn't know how to save audio. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Again, he surprised us before.
I hate you, Nick. That's the moral of that story. And I hope you get the charcoal, and I hope it turns your face black forever. The whole every tooth just looks like you're missing a tooth. I hope. I mean, you should try it, though. It works.
What's wrong with having a black face?
I said teeth, not face. Not
no,
face.
You said face.
Nope. People, I said teeth.
Check the podcast, racist.
Yeah, people can get fired for racist comments like that in radio. Just saying.
Oh, my God.
Lawrence, hang in there. We'll get you after the break. Appreciate you hanging in there. El Jefe, great point, by the way. What would have been a better national game? The World Series rematch or Red Sox-Yankees for the 100th time?
Yeah, that race isn't even close anymore.
No.
9.5 games separating the Red Sox and the Yankees.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We got halfway point of the show. We'll take a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on a Monday here at ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, special guest producer Trey, hanging in there with Nick. And you guys?
Trey, are you learning anything? Are you getting good at it? I'm telling you, you're learning from one of the best. What I noticed, though,
is you can't see his face anymore?
No. You're not taking notes.
Oh, yes, he is.
That's you're absorbing years of knowledge from one of the best in the business on that little raggedy scrap of paper. That is what you think you're going to. What does it say, Nick? What has he written down? Nick, get those pieces of paper and tell me what he wrote down. I want to
see
know
if Nick can read it. Because factor in, remember, your biggest problem was always whenever we did a contest with Trey, you couldn't read his writing.
What does it say?
It's legible. I mean, this first piece of paper, he has like a 6-step explanation on how to come back from break. So it's
okay.
Headline or labeled to come back from break.
Okay.
And it looks like he can spell.
Does it say don't scream at the TV?
It does not say that. No.
Just checking.
So, step number 5, say hot, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
What is 1 through 4?
1, turn on AV1.
Okay.
Then No, and net computer and AVE. I don't know what the hell.
Is this what you told him?
Nick just said, I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't know what. Turn on AVE. I don't know.
He's standing right next to you. He can probably explain it to you.
Well,
I think, no, my point is, Trey, you should have a lot more notes written down than six steps to come back from break.
Well, he's got two small pieces
front
and back.
Okay, front. Well, that doesn't. Those are just basically post-it notes on steroids. That's what those are. You should have a legal pad. You should be on page 9 of your legal pad already. You're wasting this, Trey. You're totally, because you're never coming back. I just want you to know. Just kidding. I'm just joking, Trey. You can do that as much as you want. In fact, I think you should do it every day with Nick.
Twice,
yeah. I think you should come in on Saturdays and do it.
Nick wants to come in and teach you on Saturday mornings at about 8 a.m.
I wanted to bring intern Trey on for the third hour. I know Barry doesn't, but he had an interesting conversation with Fred Fowler at a bar.
Oh, really?
And I really think you should ask him about it.
Okay, let's do it.
Doesn't have to be now, but I'm just saying, I think you should.
I feel like you're setting me up for failure, but...
No, I'm not. I swear, I'm not.
I feel like you're setting me up to
if
be embarrassed about
if anybody should be worried, it's him, believe me.
Okay. I feel like we're on a delay on this show.
Okay.
Remember the guy from Game Day who would listen to the show like on an hour and a half delay?
Ike.
Was it Ike?
Ike would text you on Tuesday. He would text you on Tuesday and be like, yes! And you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, sorry, I'm listening to the podcast. And you would just get a tweet out of nowhere that'd be like, I agree. You're like, bro, it's Tuesday. What? He was a little late. But somebody texted the show at 2:18 and said, and I quote, "So your opinion only matters if you have a bunch of Twitter followers," end quote. First of all, sir and or madam, that was at 1 o'clock and 1:15.
Right off the top.
Second of all, I never mentioned that. I said that a listener saw the tweet and replied, bro, you have 7 Twitter followers. I never said that, okay?
I did guess.
No, your opinion doesn't matter based on the number of Twitter followers you have. As such, it shouldn't matter based on how successful you are or what your job is. So why would I make that point? I appreciate you...
I did try and guess how many followers the person had, but that was to illustrate a different point.
But now, so speaking of flashbacks, we have 2 calls on the board that we have time to get to, right, Nick? We have about 5 minutes left in the segment, 4 minutes. Both of them want to talk Jalen Hurts, also something we've hit on over
several
an hour
ago.
But I'm all for it. Lawrence has been holding the longest.
Yep.
Lauren wants to talk Jalen Hurts. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? I had asked y'all to speak on that because I had just gotten a truck and they said y'all haven't spoke on it. That's the reason why I had brought it back up. But I was sitting there looking at it, and I was wondering, he didn't know this was going to happen after that guy won the championship game. Like, he could have. I know he should have seen that coming, but I had to listen.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, Joel even brought up the fact that, after that, for that kind of season and that kind of finish, how do you not? But, I mean, Lawrence, if you're 26-2, you think, maybe I lost my job for the time being, but I can win it back.
And put some, just as long as I got players around me, I can make plays.
But I do agree with him in a way. You kind of have to know that the writing's on the wall. You didn't, you know.
No question about it, man. I mean, that's the thing. And then you have to just look within yourself and say, hey, do I just want to ride this thing out? Maybe whether I play or not, win a couple more titles, be in contention, and be thankful for being here? Or do I believe in my abilities enough to say, hey, I can still have 2 good years somewhere else?
Yep.
And not only could we be successful, but it could also springboard me into success on the next level. So
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to Flash. He also wants to talk Jalen Hurts. Flash, what's up?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to piggyback on the Jalen talk. First of all, there's a new redshirt rule this year, and a guy can play in 4 games and it will not affect his eligibility for that year. Therefore, early in the spring, all the chatter was about, will Jalen transfer after he loses the job to Tua, which is inevitable in my opinion. So he's already went to Saban and said, hey, I'm staying all year. Why would I leave? I'm graduating in December. And you know the grad transfer rule, you don't have to sit out.
Right.
So I think what's going to happen is Tua's going to win the job, and then they're going to come up with some packages, et cetera, for Jalen, and he can play in the four games, and I guess at that point he can determine if he wants to, I don't want to say the word waste or use up year number three, but in either case, he will still have 1 year left to go show his NFL worthiness.
So, Flash, correct me before you get out. Let me ask you this. So, say if he's going to sincerely graduate this year regardless, right? So he's eligible next year. He can go anywhere. Why?
Right.
And say he decides to redshirt before the four games. Would he be eligible immediately for two more years?
No. If he plays in more than four games this season, then that is officially his junior year.
Right. No, I'm saying say he redshirts before using up the four games. Say he redshirts after two games and he graduates early. Is he eligible immediately with 2 years?
Yes.
Wow.
Because he's a grad transfer.
So I guess that's his way of being able to clap back at Saban. You can't put my future in your hands and play around with it. I can still
Saban
find
has
a way
to agree to it, though. Saban has to agree to redshirt or not play him in more than the four games.
He can leave the program. And if he leaves the program without having played in four games, he's eligible for two more years.
Yeah, but... Oh, yeah.
So, okay. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got... Jerry is on hold, so we'll get to Jerry. I'm assuming it's Jerry after the break. I do want to tell you before we go to break about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about Mattress Mack and his staff for a long time. Mack has been such an instrumental part in everything that happens in Houston, especially when times are toughest. He steps up in a big way. He does that every single day when you're talking about furniture in H-Town, in the surrounding areas. He's got three locations to better serve you. He's got Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. He's got the Galleria across from Dillard's on Post Oak. And he's got I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which store you pop into, it's the same great customer service. It's the same great quality furniture. All solid wood, American made from brands like Stickley, leather and upholstered furniture. But quite frankly, solid wood and made to last a long time furniture for every room in your house. If you need nightstands, a coffee table, whatever you're looking for, they have something that will fit your needs. And they'll have it at a very, very fair price. And it'll be quality that will last for a long, long time. They're doing the Astros promotion again, which means you spend $3,000 or more in furniture for the bedroom, including brands like Tempur-Pedic. And if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all for free. That's just a little fun and games for shopping and doing business at Gallery Furniture. And the bottom line is everything that Max says they're going to do, and it doesn't mean it's a marketing slogan. It means it's a way of doing business. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. Within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, you get the delivery guys to show up at your door and bring your new furniture in. If you want them to take something out, get rid of it, or rearrange furniture within your house, they're happy to help and oblige, because that's just part of the way that they want you to be satisfied enough to return to Gallery Furniture whenever you need anything for your house. And of course, what Max says is always what they're going to do. That means no back order slips and guaranteed. Gallery really will save you money.
We ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee-deep hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. A little reminder that we will be simulcasting on the with all the mappers. Sports Map comes in with 94.1 on the simulcast starting at 3, and it will stay that way through the Blitz through 7. So always good to have the mappers aboard. But
word.
We always also recommend that people just download the app and listen to us everywhere they go all the time. Clear as a bell, everything and all that.
That's right. Real quick, before we get to Jerry, I had a tweet from Coyote Guy, at Coyote Guy 3. He said, I think I'm a usual suspect now. I literally turned my radio on at 4 a.m. to 97.5 in my truck and in my dozer. Listen all day long, but you guys kill it every single day. Keep up the great work. Thank you, kind sir. We appreciate the kind words, and thank you for listening to the station all day.
Spread the love to others to have that kind of attitude. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Now, that said,
Love that.
Let's get to...
You don't really want to talk to Jerry today,
no,
do
I do.
You?
I do. He was giving me the business on the Twitters, and I didn't appreciate it.
Because you're a cheater.
Hmm? Huh?
I'm a cheater.
Yeah, he was saying I was a Papa Shot cheater. But he also said this. Go ahead and pot him up. Because, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you said you have been sick since the party.
I have been sick ever since that party. I think I got a weird mushroom or something.
And what
now,
was
I was getting
that you
it right
said,
before it, but I've been out of commission.
You said something to the effect of you may have accidentally mixed up your drink with Nick. Dude's mouth is probably a cesspool with all the strange he gets. With all the strange he gets. Is that accurate, Jerry, that you said that?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Really? Because I'll just tag him on your tweet. I can just go to the tweet.
I think he tagged me. He's well aware of okay. that potty mouth of his. Because he was working it hard with the ladies. I see you, Nick.
No, it was funny because I was talking to Holly and Rachel, the beautiful Holly and Rachel, and Jerry had already said he was about to leave. But of course, when he saw me talking to Holly and Rachel,
he
had an extra 10 or 15 minutes.
Jerry the C blocker. All up in your business.
Am I lying, Jerry?
Because I was trying to block him. I was starting to draw the attention away from him, so I had to gracefully bow out.
What did Jerry, did you say, by the way, speaking of hard, did you say that you got sick playing Hide the Mushroom?
Say that again?
Did you say you got sick at the party playing Hide the Mushroom?
No, that's not true.
Are you sure? Because Nick can go back and we can go back and rewind that. I'm pretty sure you were playing Hide the Mushroom.
Definitely not Hide the Mushroom. I said a strange mushroom.
You were playing it with a strange mushroom.
One of them might have fell on the carpet. Somebody put it back. But no, it was cool seeing everybody. Everybody, you know who was actually really friendly that I was not expecting was Dell. Dell was like the nicest guy. And I was like expecting like him to be walking around with like a black cloud flying, like hovering over his head. But he was like the nicest guy there.
Jeez, Dell's a great dude.
Yeah, he is.
He was good. Good people. The thing is, Tyler, I walked past Tyler in the hallway. I don't know who he was talking to, but he was like, Kyle Petty in 2006 in the pit stop. And like some obscure race from like 12 years ago. He knew it like verbatim what happened. Like he's got some sort of mad genius.
I think you said Trey.
You said Tyler, but you meant Trey?
Like a pit stop from like
Jerry, 08. Jerry, stop. Take a breath. You said Tyler, you meant Trey, correct?
Trey.
Okay, you said Tyler. Trey. All right, continue.
I'm sorry. Tyler, I couldn't recognize Tyler without that Grizzly Adams beard, man.
Right.
It's like like his superpowers were taken away.
Yeah. That's what happens when you get a woman.
With Charlie Polillo. How'd he get stuck with that job? Nah. Anyway.
You're so mean.
See you later.
All
right. Good day, sir.
Later, Jerry. Now, Trey has joined us on the program.
Hey.
What's
now,
up?
You were talking NASCAR at the listener appreciation party.
Yeah, everybody came up to me and was like asking me NASCAR questions. And I was happy to oblige.
Yeah, I bet you were.
You love you some NASCAR.
I do.
Now, apparently you went to the after party.
Yeah, Fred was talking about my mom and
Wait, slow down.
If he wasn't married, he'd get my mom and stuff.
You got to set this up, Trey. You can't just hit us. My God, you don't just start, he wants to have sex with my mom.
If he wasn't married.
Can we set it up first, Trey? Would it be okay if we built a little suspense?
I mean.
Before you just blurt it all out and give it to the listeners? Do you not know, how long have you been around radio?
Ever since I was a baby.
We got to set this up, man. You just ruined the whole thing. You just gave it up.
If you would be the
loosest chick in the school. You're just out here just passing it out, just giving it up. Don't even make them work for it.
My bad.
Now, there was an after party. We're going to do this anyways.
Yes, you are. I guess so.
So you went to the after party with Fred. You're having drinks.
Yeah, it was me, Rachel, and all my friends. And I think Fred was having a good time, and he was like, man, if I wasn't married, I'd get with your mom. And
so Fred basically threatened to bang your mom.
That's nothing new.
It's a spot on Fred, by the way.
So
So it just out of no. Did you provoke him?
No.
Were you like, hey, is your daughter single?
He was like, no, I never said anything.
Are you sure?
I was just
ask if she was cute?
No.
Okay.
She's like 16. That's
disgusting. I'm just asking what provoked this.
But like we were hanging out and he was like, I need a ride home and I don't trust Trey. And I was like, okay, I get that. And he was like, nah, I'm just kidding. You know I love you, right, Trey? And I was like, yeah, it's cool. And he's like, yeah, and I like your mom too. If I wasn't married, I'd get with your mom. That was
Fred was not under the influence of any alcohol.
That
or
sounds
anything,
exactly
right?
Like Fred.
You what?
That was the unexplicit version.
That was the he said he would bang your mom.
Essentially. Okay. If he wasn't married.
If he wasn't married, which okay. That's great. How did this make you feel?
I've heard this 10 times before already, so it really didn't do much to me.
Wait. You've heard it 10 times before?
Well, you're always coming up here saying you're my dad and stuff. And
I was just going to go with
we
that.
Don't even
I mean,
look,
after
look
all,
like
Barry
we're related.
Is your dad, right?
I don't look like Ed
Helms. I don't
Ed
even
Helms.
Remember how that got... By the way, somebody, I didn't do this to you, but since you want to start name calling what people look like.
Well, Ed Helms isn't a bad looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
No, I don't think so.
But someone texted the show and said, I saw Trey on the feed, on the
producer
the stream, and he didn't look anything like what I thought he would. He looked like a Garbage Pail Kid. Well, and I wasn't going to say that.
That's
but you
okay.
had to go out here and throw it. I look like Ed Helms.
Ed Helms is a good looking guy. So, no, pause. But he's a good looking guy. Ed Helms is a presentable looking male.
Wait you a minute. You just went from a good looking guy to presentable?
I'm trying to like.
That's a huge difference in the spectrum.
Is Ed Helms ugly to you, Barry?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Why do you think that?
I don't think he's a handsome man.
I think he doesn't look terrible. If I were to go that way, but I don't.
Not that there's anything
Not
wrong
that
with
there's
that.
Anything wrong
I know,
with that.
I got you. How did it make you feel when Fred said he would bang your mom? Were you hopeful that Fred would be your dad one day?
I mean, no, my dad's pretty cool. He
is
just
he?
Got out
is
of the hospital
dad,
recently.
Is your dad in the radio?
No, he drives heavy equipment.
Which one do you like more?
So that's how you got to on this planet, right?
Good one.
Jeez.
Well, okay. So, were you upset with Fred?
No.
And not at all?
No, it's just...
Have you heard this from others?
Who?
About your mom? Anybody else?
Well, people have said my mom is attractive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That doesn't make you angry.
You stated that if I wasn't married, maybe Trey would be calling me daddy on
nope.
Twitter.
Never said that.
We could pull up the tweets.
I never said that, so I don't believe...
Barry, is this true?
Let's go to the advanced search.
Somehow believe that he has a screen capture of this.
Let's go. Pull it up, Trey.
All right, hold on.
We've got to go to break. We're going to be joined by Sports Map. We'll, That's not the same as wanting to bang your mom,
but
okay?
You stated that you wanted to be my father.
Nope.
Assuming
I
that
said
if
I
you
was
were my
your dad.
Father...
Because how did that even get started? I really don't remember how that got started.
Conception through Twitter?
No. Didn't somebody say something about me being your dad?
I think you're the one who started it.
Yeah.
I think you did, too.
I don't believe I started that.
You stated if I wasn't married, then Trey would be calling me daddy, which is a direct quote.
Is it?
Yes.
That seems to have stuck with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, son. I made a mistake.
Right, Dad.
It's just crawling more. We got to go to break. We're going to come back. Sports Mappers are going to join us. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Love you, Trey. One down in the second if you wait.